Today's daf is Erevin Daf Tzadi Gimel. We left off on the top of Daf Tzadi Gimel Amud Aleph. So we're going to first finish off the discussion from yesterday that we had about challenging Abaye's assertion that a wall, creating a new wall, can never add a chumrah. Walls always create kula. So we had two challenges yesterday to that statement of Abaye. We have two more today, starting with the third line from the page of Tzadi Gimel Amud Aleph. And after that, the Gemara is going to discuss different cases of three karpifos, three different enclosures that border on each other, where some of the cases where the middle enclosure is wider than the outer one, some where the middle one is narrower than the outer ones, and we're going to discuss the various halachos about how much space they can enclose and you still be allowed to carry in there. Then the Gemara is going to quote two shittos about gidud chamisha u'mechitza chamisha, a chatzar that's elevated above a neighboring chatzar by 5 tefachim and then has a 5 tefach wall built on the elevation. Is that considered to be a 10 tefach wall between the 5 tefach elevation and the 5 tefach wall? And then the final discussion of the daf, which is going to lead all the way to the Mishnah on the next daf, is whether the halacha of carrying in a chatzar can change in the middle of Shabbos if conditions change. What if a mechitza between two chatzeros falls down in the middle of Shabbos? So each chatzar had their own erev chatzeros, but they didn't have an erev together, and then the mechitza fell down, so now they asr on each other. Or maybe there was a window that connected the two chatzeros, and they made an erev together through that window, and then the window was nistam, it was closed up on Shabbos. So now is that, does the chatzar that's left without the box of matzahs, is that chatzar now going to be in trouble, not going to be allowed to carry in their chatzar? So that is that's the basic outline of the topics we're going to discuss. So again, let's continue with the third raya, or the third challenge to Abaye's assertion that adding mechitzos can never create more of a chumrah. Fourth line from the top, rather, it is Amar Le Rabba Barav Chanan La Abaye. So Rabba Barav Chanan says to Abaye, V'lo matzinu mechitza l'isser. Do you really never find that adding mechitza creates an isser? V'atani, we have a brisa as follows. Bayis shechatzio mekuruv v'chatzio enim mekuruv. You have a house that's half roofed and half not roofed. So gufanim kan mutul lezra kan. If you have vines on one side where the house is roofed, then you're allowed to plant on the other side where the house does not have a roof. V'ilu hishves kiruyo usr. But if you were to complete the roof of the house and make the entire house roofed, then you would not be allowed to plant zraim on the other side. So don't you see that adding roof creates an isser? Now, why are you allowed to plant zraim when the house is only half roofed? Because we assume that the half of roof comes to an end at a tefach of thickness, so we apply the concept of pitikra yorid v'sosein, that where the roof ends halfway through the house, that's a pitikra, and we view that as if it continues straight down and creates a mechitza that divides the two sides of the house. So on one side you could have gefanim, on the other side you could have zroim, and it's not a problem of kilei akerem. But if you continue and you finish the roof off over the entire house, so now there's no wall dividing the middle of the house, and it's going to create an isser. So don't you see that that creates an isser? So he says, no, that doesn't prove anything. Over there again, Abaye rejected all three challenges so far the same exact way. It's not the addition of the other half of the roof that creates the problem. It's the fact that you knock away the pitikra, you blocked off where a previous mechitza. That's what creates the problem. It's the blocking of the other mechitza that creates the problem, not the creation of a new mechitza that creates the problem. Both Rashi and Tosus, and really all the Rishonim over here, are bothered by the application of pitikra yorid v'sosem to this case, because they point out that the heter of pitikra yorid v'sosem, even according to Shmuel, legabe hilchos Shabbos, we don't say pitikra yorid v'sosem unless it's the fourth of four walls, meaning if you already have regular mechitzos, then we apply pitikra yorid v'sosem. By klayim, apparently it doesn't need that. All you need is just one pitikra, and that's enough to divide two sides of a field for klayim. So both Rashi and Tosfos point out that obviously we have different halachos of when we're legabe Shabbos and legabe klayim about when we're going to apply pitikra yorid v'sosem. So the Mikdash David explains that the reason for the different halachos is that the geder for a mechitza legabe klayim is different than how we define the geder of mechitza legabe Shabbos. By Shabbos, the point of mechitzos is to create a reshus hayachid. So it's not really a din in the mechitzos per se. It's a din in having an area that is mukaf mechitzos. So reshus hayachid is defined as being distinct from a reshus harabim in that it is surrounded by mechitzos. So in order to create that, you need at least shtei mechitzos shleimos. You need at least two complete walls in order to create that sense of being mukaf mechitzos. And a tzuris ha-pesach on all sides isn't going to help. But when it comes to the Yisr Klayim, it's not a din in being mukaf mechitzos. It's a din in having a mechitza to divide these two areas, in having just a separation, some sort of partition between the side that's planted with vines and the side that's planted with zrayim. So it's not a din in being mukaf mechitzos, and therefore, even if you just have one pitikra, we can rely on that one pitikra to tzuris ha-pesach. We can rely on that one tzuris ha-pesach to divide the two areas. That's how the Marsham explains in the Tshuva to answer the kasha of the Mishkanos Yaakov. Mishkanos Yaakov asks why it is the Gemara said in Daf Yud Aleph that a tzuris ha-pesach that's asah min atzad. If you're making normally tzuris ha-pesach is defined as kanamikan, kanal gabehem. You have two side poles and then a top pole that runs across the two side poles. What if the top pole doesn't run across the top of the two side poles? It comes out of the side. You have a lot of times like that with cable wires and telephone wires, where they, instead of running it across the top of the pole, they run it, they drill it into the pole. So that's what they call a tzuris ha-pesach that's min atzad. So it works legabe klayim, doesn't work legabe Shabbos. So why would it work for klayim to separate klayim, not work for Shabbos? So the Marsham explains that gabe klayim, you don't need a mechitza like you do by Shabbos. By klayim, the mechitza is only there to create a heker that the two minim are being separated from each other. But it's not a din in dine mechitza. It's just a din in separating the two sides from each other. So whatever creates that heker is good enough, even if it's not a proper tzuris ha-pesach. Whereas by Shabbos, we need dine mechitza to create that sense of a makom that's mukaf mechitzos. So on Shabbos, it's going to be a little bit different. So the fourth challenge now, says the Gemara, shalach le rav la abaye, biyad rav shmaya barzi'i, rav lo matzinu mechitza l'isser. He says, I'll challenge you in another place. Do we not find a case where creating a mechitza is also going to generate an iser? V'atanya, we have the following brisa. Yesh b'mechitzos hakerem lahakel ulahachmir. Sometimes mechitzos in a vineyard create a kula, sometimes they create a chumra. Now typically they create a kula, meaning if you put a mechitza around a vineyard, so then you're going to be allowed to plant on the other side of the mechitza. But the brisa is going to go through how they create a kula and how they create a chumra. Ketzad, kerem anatua ad ikr mechitza, zareh mikr mechitza ve'elach. If you have a vineyard planted all the way up until the base of a wall, so fantastic. Then you could plant on the other side of that wall without being marchik dalanamos, just plant on the other side of that wall, whatever you want to plant on the other side of that wall. She'ilu ein shem mechitza, marchik dalanamos v'zareya. Had there not been a mechitza there, you would have had to have left an empty space of dalanamos before you plant something else. So you see, v'zeo mechitza sakerem lahakel. That's clearly an example of a mechitza in a kerem that creates a kula and not a chumra. Ulahachmir ketzad. So that was the easy one. Where do you find a mechitza in a vineyard that creates a chumra? How do you ever find that a mechitza is going to generate a chumra? So hayamashuch min hakosel yud alef ama lo yavi zera l'sham. If the vines are within 11 amos of the wall that surrounds the kerem, meaning you don't plant vines all the way up to the wall, you stop 11 amos short of the wall, so you're not allowed to plant something else between the vines and the wall. Now what would the halacha have been had there not been a wall there? How far would you have to go from the vines before you start planting your tevua? 4 amos, and that would be fine. You'd be allowed to plant there. But because there's a wall there, you're now not allowed to plant at all in between the wall and the vines when the vines are within 11 amos of the wall. Shelmalei ein mechitza, had there not been a wall there, marchik dalan amos v'zareya. All you would need to do is separate 4 amos, and that would have been perfectly fine. V'zui mechitza sakerem lahachmir. That's an example of mechitza sakerem lahachmir, where adding the mechitza creates a problem. By bringing the mechitza there, it creates a problem. So Amalei, so Abaye responds, and Abaye says, no, if that's going to be your challenge, where a mechitza creates a chumra, osvan mimasnisin, you could have done better than that. I mean, if you wanted to challenge me from a situation of a kerem, where a mechitza creates a chumra, you didn't need to bring a brisa. You could have brought a beferish a mishnah. The mishnah in the fourth parak of Klayim says as follows, Ditnan, karachas ha-kerem, beisham yomim chavdalid, ube amos ube silom tezayinama. when it comes to the bald spot in a kerem, so, and the Gemara is going to explain what this terminology means. Beis Shammai says you need a 24 amma bald spot in the kerem, and Beis Hillel says you need 16 amos. Machola kerem, the surrounding area of a kerem, Beis Shammai yomim tes zayin amma, u Beis Hillel yomim yud beis amma. Beis Shammai says you need 16 amos, Beis Hillel says you need 12 amos. What are these things? So now it goes and explains. Ve'ezo hi karachas hakerem. What is the bald spot in the middle of the kerem that we describe this machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, whether it needs to be 24 amos like Beis Shammai or 16 amos like Beis Hillel? Kerem shecharav emtzi iso. What if you have a vineyard, but right in the middle it's destroyed. There are no vines in the middle. There's this a bald spot, an empty spot where there are no vines right in the middle of the kerem. So im ein sham tes zayin amma. According to Beis Hillel, if there aren't at least 16 by 16 amos that are left empty, lo yavi zera l'sham. You cannot plant anything else there. But if you have 16 amos, then all you need to do is leave out enough space of kedei avodas hakerem, which we assume is 4 amos in each direction, kedei avodas hakerem, and then you could plant the rest of the rest of the area with something else. So essentially, what are we saying according to Beis Hillel? If you have 16 amos of empty space, you're allowed to plant something else there. How do you plant something else there? Well, you can only plant in 8 amos of those 16 amos, because the 4 amos that border the kerem on one side and the 4 amos that border the kerem on the other side need to be left empty for the avodas hakerem, and then that's the dalet amos we're always marchik, and then you plant the area 8 amos. Apparently, if you don't have, let's say it was only 15 amos of empty space, so why can't you be marchik 4 on one side, marchik 4 on the other side, and plant 7 amos of grains? What would be the problem with that? So apparently, when you plant less than 8 amos of grains, we view it as if it's batel to the kerem, and therefore it's automatically considered part of the kerem. In order for it to be chashuv bifnei atzmo, in order for it to be considered significant in its own right, that it's not part of the kerem, that the grain that you're planting is a separate sada, it has to be at least 8 amos. So that's why you need 16 amos in the middle of the kerem. Why does Beis Shammai require 24 amos? So Rashi has two deos what Beis Shammai's cheshbon is. Either that an area of 8 amos is considered a sada b'fnei atzmo, so you need 16 amos aside from the dalid for the avodas hakerem. Meaning the idea is that if you were to be mechalik that sada into two, you would need to have two substantial fields. I mean the area that you plant with grain has to be dividable by two, and therefore he says so you need 16 amos of area that you actually plant with grains, and then 4 amos on either side that you leave empty. So that's how he gets his 24. That's one way Rashi understands. The other understanding that Rashi has is that the makom of avodas hakerem is not 4 amos, it's 8 amos. So you need to leave 8 amos empty on either side, and therefore that's going to leave you, if you're planting 8 amos of grains in the middle, so that's going to give you a total of 24. But that's the idea of karachas hakerem. But we're not focused on that, because that wasn't the case that we brought the raya from. The case that we brought the raya from was mechola kerem, was planting in between where the vines end and where the wall of the kerem is, right? We said if there's only 11 amos between where the vines end and the wall, you're not allowed to plant anything there. So ezli mechola kerem, what's a mechola kerem? Bein hakerem legeder. It's talking about the area between the kerem and the fence that surrounds the kerem. She'im ein sham yud beiz amma lo yavi zera l'sham. If you don't have 12 amos between the kerem and the geder, then you're not going to be allowed to plant anything else in that area. Hayusham yud beiz amma. If you have 12 amos between the kerem and the geder, nosno kedei avodaso v'zareya samosar. Then you're allowed to. Then you leave 4 amos aside, and you can plant the rest of it. You can plant the rest of it, and it's just fine. So, what's the idea? So he says, if you want to challenge me from that mishnah. Meaning here you have a mishnah that says that you need 12 amos. Why are you only bringing me from a brisa that 11 amos isn't good enough? The mishnah says before. Aferish. You need 12 Amos. So obviously this whole concept, L'chora, should be a challenge, because apparently we see that adding a fence creates a problem. Had there not been a fence there, you could have just been Marchik Dalet Amos. Now there's a fence there, and I have to make sure I'm 12 Amos away. So that's a significant Chumra. So Ella says, Abaye, none of it's a challenge to me. Ella Hasam Lav Hainu Taima, he says, Ella de Kol Arba Amos Legabe Kerem Avodas HaKerem. He says that the reason is that we need 4 Amos to be empty for Avodas HaKerem. Legabe Geder Kivin de Lom Izdarin Afkure Mafkulahu. The area of the Dalet Amos next to the wall also is off the table. We can't plant anything in those Dalet Amos next to the wall, because it would rattle the whole wall, it would ruin the entire wall. So a person who's mafker that area would never want to plant anything there. The Beni Beni, so the area in between, Iika Dalet Chashvinon, Vilo, Lo Chashvinon. If there's 4 Amos of space to plant something else there, great, so then plant something else there. If you don't have 4 Amos of space to plant something else there, well, then it's no good, because then it's not going to be a significant enough area to be planted, and it's just going to be bottle to the kerem. So Abaye's answer is that when a vineyard is surrounded by a wall, the first 4 amos of the wall are not there for planting. You can't plant there. The 4 amos closest to the vines also can't halachically be planted, and therefore the remaining space has to be at least 4 amos, according to Beis Hillel, or according to Beis Shammai, it needs to be 8 amos. That's why Beis Shammai said that the machal kerem is 16 amos, and otherwise it's going to be bottled to the vineyard and it's going to be usher. Only if you have ample space to plant, even after leaving 4 empty amos near the wall and 4 empty amos near the vines, can you plant. So what? So, but bottom line, he's explaining the halacha, but the halacha still is that the mechitza creates an iser. It's still, all you would need to do is be marchik dalet amos had it not been for the mechitza. Now what he's trying to say is that it's not the wall that creates the iser, it's the amount of plantable area that creates the iser. Meaning, why is it if the wall weren't there that you'd be allowed to plant? Because then you'd have more than 4 amos to plant grain. And as long as you have more than 4 amos to plant grain, it could be chashuv in its own right, you're marchik dalet amos. So that's the issue. The issue is how much space do you have to plant grain? It's not about the wall. It's just that the wall limits the amount of space that you have to plant grain. So the wall doesn't create the iser. The plantable area creates the iser. That's how Abaye defends himself. Those are all 4 challenges to Abaye. Now a new topic. Amar of Yehuda. Gimel Karpifos Zebitzadzeh. If you have 3 enclosures that are not homes, they are not chatzeros, they're just areas that are enclosed and therefore have a status of Rosh Hashanah and Daraisa level that are all one right next to the other. Ushnayim Achis, so the Gemara is going to give 4 cases of 3 enclosures that are right next to each other. And generally speaking, the rule is that a makom that's not hukaf ledira and yoser mi beis sasayim, you're not allowed to carry him. If it's more than Beis Hasayim and it's not hukaf ledira, you're not allowed to carry. If it's less than Beis Hasayim, if it's less than the space of Beis Hasayim, even if it's not hukaf ledira, as long as it has mechitzos around it, you are allowed to carry in there. So unless you have a shayara, when you have a shayara is a group of 3 people, then even more than Beis Hasayim, you're allowed to carry in there. Even when it's not hukaf ledira, it's more than Beis Hasayim, but it's a group of 3 people traveling together, you're still allowed to carry in there. So what we're going to be working on is the definition of shayara. What makes something a shayara? What if you have 3 karpifos? Each of the karpifos have only 1 person. Do we have to start measuring if these karpifos are more than Beis Hasayim, less than Beis Hasayim? It depends. If these 3 people together have a din of a shayara, if they're ever going to be considered residents of the same place, they'll have a din of a shayara, and then you'd be allowed to carry inside those mechitzos, no matter how large the area is. But if we can't combine these people, then they won't have a din of a shayara, and then we have to start measuring to make sure that each karpif is pachos mi beis sasayin. So case number 1, if you have gimel karpifos zebitzadzeh, ushnayim achitzonim megufafim, vayimtsayi eno megufaf. The 2 outer mechitzos are megufaf. Rashi explains that means that they are wider than the middle one. The middle one is narrower than the outer one, and therefore, from the perspective of the people in the outer karpifos, they see walls on all 4 sides of them, because they have the 3 complete walls, and then even where they border on the middle karpif, they have pieces of walls next to the opening into the middle karpif, which is a narrower karpif. So you have chitzonim megupafim. That's what it means megupafim, that they have a partial wall on the fourth side. But vayenu megupaf, the middle one is narrower and therefore is completely open to the outer two karpifos. V'yachbazeh, and there's one person in each karpif. So nasa kishayara, it's treated like a shayara, like it's a group of three people. V'noslan called sarchan. Everyone is shayich to the middle karpif. It's as if all three people belong in the same place, and therefore it becomes like a shayara. So we don't have to start measuring whether you have a base asayim, you don't have a base asayim. It's all going to be mutter. They all belong in the middle karpif, so they can carry no matter how large. That's case number one. Case number two, vaday emtsai megufaf. V'shnayim achitzonim eino megufafin v'yachad bazev einos lamel beishesh. If it were the opposite, if the middle karpif was wider than the outer two karpifos, which means that the middle karpif sees four walls, but the people in the outside karpifos do not see four walls, and there's only one person in each karpif, so certainly they do not become a shayara. We don't assume that they're all shayach to the middle one, and therefore they do not become a shayara. So we have to measure and make sure that each karpif is pachos mi beis hasayim. If it's larger than beis hasayim, one would not be allowed to carry there. Those are the two obvious cases. The next two cases we're not as sure about. Ibayiluhu, what about the following? Mahu. What if you have one person in each of the outer karpifos and two people in the middle karpif? So ila hachanafka tlasahavu. Ila hachanafki tlasahavu. Meaning, the assumption is the people in the outer karpif don't belong to the middle karpif. The people in the middle karpif belong to one of the outer karpifos, because the middle karpif, we said, is wider. So they belong to one of, they're shayich to one of the outer karpifos. So how do we look at it? If you have one in each of the outside karpifos and two people in the middle, do we say, well, whichever karpif they choose, that will make three people, because there are two people in the middle, so if they choose to go to the right, so now there will be three people in the right. If they choose to go to the left, there will be three people in the left, and therefore male it's going to become a shayara. Or maybe no. Maybe you say, well, there are two people and there are two other karpifos, so maybe one will go in one direction, the other one will go in the other direction, and you're never going to have a shayara. You're never going to have three people in one place. So it leaves that, the Gemara leaves that as a question. And then it says, and if you're going to say that one guy is going to go in this direction and one guy is going to go in that direction, which means that in the previous case, we would assume lechumra that they do not become a shayara, and therefore you are only given up until beis hasayim. What if you have the following? Shnayim bazeh u'shnayim bazeh ve'echad be'emtsai. What if you have two people in each of the outer karpifos and one person in the middle? So ma'u, what's the din there? Do we assume that the middle guy's got to go somewhere? So if he, wherever he goes, it's going to create a shayara. Hacha vaday ila hacha nafik tlasavu v'ila hacha nafik tlasavu. Or maybe no, since we don't know which karpif he's going to, therefore we always assume l'chumra. We always assume that we don't know that there's ever going to be a shayar, because we don't know which direction he's going to do. So even if in case number three, we do not view it as being a residence of three people, if there were two people in each of the outer karpifos, it's a shaylam. Maybe we could assume that the single person has to go somewhere, so it's certainly an area that's designated for three people, it's going to become a shayara. Or no, maybe since we don't know in advance which one of the karpifos he's going to, so therefore we don't view it as if it's shayara. So the hilchus abayin lakula in these last two shaylas where we left it unresolved, so the halacha is we go lakula in both of these last two shaylas. The Rashash raises an obvious question. The Gemara paskins lakula over here. The Gemara typically paskins when you need to paskin. When there are already klalim that tell you how to paskin, the Gemara typically doesn't have to tell me of a hilchasa. Meaning when it's an obvious suffik drabanan lakula, suffik eruv lakula, something like that, the halacha gdivre mekel be'eruv, typically, we would not need to say v'hilchasa. So the Rashash says, why do we have to pass on l'kula over here? Savik d'rabbanon l'kula. Of course you're going to pass on l'kula. Why do you need to tell me that hilchasa l'kula? So the Rashash says that, according to the Rambam, that paskins, whenever we say in Imtim Tzolomer, the Rambam has a shita in the Klalim, and I think in the back of Masechah Shabbos, in the standard editions of Vilna Shas, they have Klalei HaRosh VaRambam, where they go through the various Klalim of how the different Rishonim paskin. So the difference between the Rambam and the Rosh, the Rambam paskin passes by every imtim tzulomar, he passes like the imtim tzulomar. Meaning, if the Gemara says, is it A or B? And if it's B, is it C or D? It means we pass like B. Because the fact that the Gemara asks within that tzad tells you that it was being nota in that direction. So the first shaila was, if you have two people in the middle and one person each side, so is it considered three people? Is it considered to be a shayara? And we said, imtim tzulomar, not that it's not a shayara, and therefore you're limited to base asayim. In that case, what if you have two people in each side and one person in the middle? So maybe we should assume, based on the klalim, we should go to chumra over there. So that's why he needs to paskin lekula. That's how the Rashash says. In the Shemi Shimon, he says, no, the klal of Safik Rabban lekula is generally said when it's already been done and you have a Safik, can you rely lekula or not? So we say Safik Rabban lekula. But even the Safik Rabban lekula, one is not supposed to create a situation of Safik in order to say Safik Rabban lekula. But over here, the Gemara is saying, Hilchsa Bayan lekula, that lechadchila you could make these mechitzos in such a way where it surrounds an area of way more than Beis Asayim, and you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to say, oh, I'm getting involved in Machlokas, what do I need to get involved in? No, Hilchasa Lekula, this is totally mutter. It's considered to be a real full-fledged Shayara, and therefore it's not going to be a problem whatsoever. Okay, new issue now. Amar Rav Chisda, Gidul Chamisha Umechitza Chamisha. If you have five Tfachim of elevation and five Tfachim of wall, so the five tefachim of elevation together with five tefachim of wall are not mitzarif with each other to create a 10 tefach wall between two chatzeros. Meaning, one chatzer is five tefachim elevated above the other chatzer, the ground is elevated, there's a little hill between them, it's five tefachim high. Then the top chatzer on top of that hill, they build a five tefach wall. So from the perspective of the people in the bottom chatzer, they see 10 tefachim. They see a 10 tefach wall from their perspective. From the perspective of the people in the top chatzer, they don't see 10 tefachim. They just have a 5 tefach wall that surrounds them. So now, what would have been the halacha if it was just 10 tefachim begidud? If it was 10 tefach elevation, that would vaday separate the two chatzeros, right? That's 10 tefachim. It would be a proper elevation. What if it's 10 tefachim in mechitza? Also vaday good. It's only because of the combination that it's good, that it's an issue. This is a sugya mesech. The Gemara Maseches Gittin brings up this case in a totally different context. The Gemara is talking over there about a kiyum aget. How is one mekayim ishtar? So typically, in order to be mekayim ishtar, to verify the authenticity of ishtar, we need to get two edim to testify about the signatures on the shtar. Then if two edim come and say, yes, I recognize that signature that belongs to such a man who's a kosher aid in Beis Din, so then the shtar can be authenticated, the shtar is verified. When it comes to a get, there's a special kula that the Rabbanan instituted that you don't know, not only is two edim enough, all you need is the shliach who's bringing the get, the shliach la'olach haget, can say b'fanei nechtav v'b'fanei nechtam, that I saw the get being written, I saw the get being signed, and that's it. That's a kiyum aget. Even though there's only one guy that's testifying about both the signatures, good enough. You don't need two aidim to testify about the signatures. B'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. So the Gemara says, what if you have the following? What if you have the guy says b'fanei nechtav, and I saw one of the guys sign it. I saw Reuven sign this get. What do we do about Shimon's signatures? Well, we'll bring two edim to verify that Shimon's signature is also a valid signature. So you were mekayim half of the get with takanas chachamim, with b'fanei nechtam, and half of the get with kiyum shtaros. So Gemara says, does that work? So the Gemara says, well, I don't know. Does gidul chamisha mechitza chamisha work? Meaning it's an issue of o kulo, when you have two ways of doing something. Do you always view it as, well, you have to pick your choice, you have to pick which way you're going to use and go completely with that method, or can you say, well, I'll do it half this way and half the other way, and we'll combine the two. So it's just like Gidul Chamisha, Mechitza Chamisha. A Gidul of Asara would have been fine. A Mechitza of Asara would have been fine. Can you mix and match? Can you have Gidul Chamisha, Mechitza Chamisha? That's the context that it's brought up in Maseches Gittin. Now, the Rishonim and Achronim have a good time trying to figure out other areas of halacha where this concept might play a role. Where else do we have something that you have two methods of making something okay or making something mutter? And the question is, can you mix and match? Can you mix two different methods together? So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Sefer Torah, Perek Zayin Halacha Dalid, the Rambam writes that a Sefer Torah, to write a Sefer Torah, you need to write on either gvil or cloth. Gvil is the much thicker parchment. Klaf is when they cut it along its width. they sort of peel it apart. Chalaf is to peel. When they peel it apart from each other, so then you have the inside of where it peeled off from where the skin was peeled is the klaf. So we could write on the nice thick gvil or on the klaf. We use klaf to write a Sefer Torah. What if you have half on gvil and half on klaf? So the Rambam writes, if it's mitzasu al gvil, mitzasu al klaf, it's pasul. You need o kulo begvil, o kulo beklaf. So the Shvus Yaakov says, where does Rambam get this from? Gidud chamisha, mechitza chamisha. You have to pick which one you're going to use. You're going to use gidud, you got to have 10 tefachim of gidud. You can use mechitza. You can't have half and half. And that's why the Sefer Torah, where you could write on gvil, you could write it on klaf, but you can't write it a half on one, half on the other. They're not mitztarif. So based on that Rambam, the Tashbetz writes that if a person finds a ta'us in the Sefer Torah, so what are you going to do? You want to correct the ta'us in the Sefer Torah. So we have two options. You could scrape off the ink, or you could just peel off the entire parchment in that area, not all the way down to the thickness, peel off the upper layer of parchment in that area, and then write in its place. So says the Tashbetz, the option B is not an option according to the Rambam, because by peeling off that area of parchment, what you're doing is you're making a Sefer Torah that was gvil partially klaf. Because now you have peeled off that area, now it's partially klaf, and that's going to be no good. But the Shvus Yaakov does not agree with that at all. He says it's pashut to him that the reason the Rambam says that miksasa b'gvil, miksasa b'klaf is pashut has absolutely nothing to do with gidud chamisha, mechitza chamisha. What it most likely has to do with is the concept of zekei livan vehu, that when you have a Sefer Torah, it should be a beautiful Sefer Torah. And it looks weird if you have certain urios of klaf and certain urios of part. It looks strange. It looks inconsistent to have different urios in the Sefer Torah. Zekei Livan Vehu, we're even more makvid by your Sefer Torah about Zekei Livan Vehu than we are in other mitzvahs. It could be that Zekei Livan Vehu is Zekei Livan Vehu may not be ma'akiv in other mitzvahs. Hidur mitzvah may not be ma'akiv the mitzvah in other mitzvahs, but by Sefer Torah it is ma'akiv mitzvah. Some Sofer explains in Masechta Shabbos that the reason is that Zekei Livan Vehu is said in the context of a Sefer Torah in the first place, meaning that that the Sefer Torah is the Shmos of Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu. It is the representation of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Zekei Livan Vehu, that which represents God is Van Vehu. That's what we have to beautify. That's where we have to show the greatest level of Hidur. So that's the first example. I think the Gemara in Shabbos says in what is the Kuflam basis of the Gemara says that when Zekei Livan Vehu, I say the fun of Sefer Torah Na, and then it gives all the other examples also. Lulav Na, Tzitzis Na, but Sefer Torah Na is the most important of the Zekei Livan Vehus. So anyway, so that's the discussion. That may relate to this idea of Gidud Chamisha Umechitza Chamisha. The other one, the other interesting application they have, there are many other interesting applications. One of them, Shar Ephraim is done. What if you're lighting Neros Chanukah? Can you light half with oil and half with Shava, half with wax? If let's say it's the eighth night of Hanukkah and you see that you only have four things of oil left, so you can use four things of oil and four things of wax. So he says l'chora raya from our Gemara that no, because Rav Chista we're about to see says you can't do gidul chamisha l'mechitzah chamisha. So therefore you shouldn't be able to do a little bit of each. And he says it's even worse by Neros Chanukah, because by Neros Chanukah, what's the reason we light eight Neros on the last night? Is because of the Mahajim and the Mahadrin, that people should be able to know that it's the eighth night. But if you have four with wax and four with oil, so people are going to look at it and then it's going to look like two different people lit. So it's not going to be mefarsim anything. It's going to look like each person only lit four neros. What's the maile lighting four neros on the eighth night of Chanukah? There's no such maile. Might as well just do a nerish ubeso. So he thought it's even worse. What about benerish Shabbos? If you don't have all of one type of thing and you want to light multiple candles, so mikra did nerish Shabbos. Our minig is that we light two. Echel keneged zachar, echel keneged shamar. People think it's keneged mommy and daddy. It's not the case. It's echel keneged zachar, echel keneged shamar. It just happens to be that there's a minig that many people have that they add an extra ner when each kid is born. But the first two aren't keneged mommy and daddy. The first two are keneged shamar and zachar, and they add another. There's a discussion in the poskim. Where did they get this minig that we add another candle when each kid is born? So some suggest it's because when a woman gives birth, she would typically be out of commission and she would miss lighting Neir Shabbos that week when her kid was born, because she was in a hospital, or not necessarily they used to not go to hospitals, but she was out of commission, she wasn't going to be able to go light the Neiros. And when a woman misses Hadlakas Neiros, so for the rest of her life, there's a Knas that she has to light one extra Neir. So that's where the minhag started, that when a woman gave birth, that she lights one extra Neir. But so is it, when you're lighting multiple Neiros Shabbos, is it better if, let's say, your minhag normally is, if you have five children, your minhag normally is to light seven candles, but you only have four of one type and three of another type, is it better to just light all one type? So that's a davar pashut, that there's no such hakpada of not mixing different types of neiros, because it's not about the neiros. The whole din of Neiros Shabbos is about shalom bayis. It's about making the house light so that people don't trip over each other. The whole inyan is an inyan of shalom bayis. So if that's the case, whatever creates more light, it doesn't matter whether it's what type of neiros one uses when it comes to that. So anyway, let's get back to Erevin over here. So you have gidul chamisha, mechitza chamisha. So ein mitstarfen ad shei o kulu begidul o kulu bemechitza. So meisvei asking where shteichat. So this is one opinion. This is Rav Chista's shita. We're going to see that Maremar disagrees. But first, the Gemara challenges Rav Chista. Meisvei shteichat zeru zulu malamizu. You have two chatzeros, one of them elevated above the other one. Vel yona gva mina tachtona asara tfachim. The upper one is 10 tfachim elevated above the lower one. O sheyeshba gidul chamisha mechitza chamisha, or it's elevated 5 tefachim plus a 5 tefach wall. Ma'arvin shnayim ve'in ma'arvin echad. The two chateros are considered to be totally separate from each other. They have to make separate erevin. They cannot join in the same erev. Pachos mikan, but if it's less than that, if it's less than a 10 tefach separation, ma'arvin echad ve'in ma'arvin shnayim, then they have to join in the same erev. They can't join in two separate erevin. So the implication is that even from the perspective of the top chater, it's a separate. It's a valid separation. When you have Gidul Chamisha and Mechitza Chamisha, we send Ma'arvin Shnayim. Each one makes their own Erev. So apparently, even from the perspective of the top Chatzar, there's a valid separation between them and the bottom Chatzar, and therefore they can make their own Erev. So, Amar Rava, Moder Rav Chista, B'tachtona, Ho V'ra Pnei Asara. Rav Chista will be Moder for sure, that the bottom, from the perspective of the bottom Chatzar, it's definitely a valid Mechitza, because from the perspective of the bottom Chatzar, it's 10 Tvachim. So that for sure is going to be moda. So ihachi, if that's the case, tachtona ta'ariv shnayim v'lo ta'ariv echad, elyona lo ta'ariv lo echad v'lo shnayim, then the halacha should have been in that brisa that the people in the bottom chatzar make their own eruv, and the people in the top chatzar are stuck. They can't do anything. They can't make their own eruv because they're wide open to the bottom chatzar, and they can't join together with the bottom chatzar because the bottom chatzar can't join with them. The bottom chatzar has a 10 tefach wall in front of them. So the bottom chatzar should be able to make their own eruv. The top chatzar should be stuck. So amarabba barula kagon. Now the case must be that the top chatzer is surrounded by a wall, by a full 10 tefach high wall, up until the point that it borders on the bottom chatzer. And only at that point does it have this 5 tefach high wall plus the 5 tefachim of elevation. So ihachi, if that's the case, then it should have said that if that elevation is less than 10 tefachim, so they can make one singular eruv, right? They should be ma'ariv echad ve'in ma'arvin shnayim. Meaning, instead of it saying that, it should not have said, that's what it did say, what it should have said is that the people in the top chatzar have the option. If they're really surrounded by walls on all the sides, they still have the option of making their own eruv, or they can make an eruv together with the bottom chatzar. So Amar Rabba, Brei D'Rava, Kigon Shenifritza HaTachtona B'Milua LeElyona. Now the case is the bottom chatzar is narrower than the top chatzar, so the bottom chatzar is wide open into the top chatzar. The top chatzar is wider, so it's surrounded by walls on all four sides, except for that one place where it borders the bottom chatzar, where you have this Gidul Chamisha, and then the two cases in the Braisa of either Mechitza Chamisha or a little less. So Ihachi Tachtona Chatiar. Then the halacha should have been that the bottom chatzer should be able to make one big eruv together with the top chatzer, but cannot make their own eruv because the bottom chatzer does not have a 10 tefach wall. Again, this is zooming in the safe of the brisa where you have gidul chamisha mechitza of just under chamisha, right? So you have, let's say, all together only 9 tefachim. So from the bottom chatzer, they're wide open to the top chatzer. They can only join together with the top chatzer, and the top chatzer should have options because the top chatzer is wider, it has walls on the fourth side also. So they could view themselves as separate, or they could view themselves as together through the Pesach of where they border with the bottom chatzer. That should have been the halacha. So Gemara says, yeah, eino chinami, that's exactly what the Braisa meant. V'chi katani, when the Braisa says, pachos mikan ma'arvin echad, Ve'in marvin shnayim, that if it's less than a gidul chamisha or mechitza chamisha, they have to make one big erev and not two separate erevin. Atachtona, it means that the people in the bottom chatzar, their only option is to have one big erev. But in Achinami, the people in the top chatzar have another option. The people in the top chatzar can make an independent erev because they're in fact surrounded by four walls. So that's the answer to how to deal with the brisa in the case of gidul chamisha or mechitza chamisha. Now the Gemara darshins. Darsh Meimar. Meimar disagrees with Rav Chisa's holy yisod. Rav Chisa was one that said gidul chamisha mechitza chamisha is no good, meaning the people in the top chatzar cannot view it as a ten tafach wall. Darsh Meimar gidul chamisha mechitza. It's perfectly fine. He said, hey, did you learn anything recently about mechitza? Amrle, lo. He said, no, they don't learn anything. Hilchsa gidul chamisha mechitza chamisha mitstarfin. Halach is a gidul chamisha mechitza chamisha. We are mitstarif the two. Now this is a much more complicated sugya than we just made it out to be. I kept on describing the case in a particular way. It's actually a major discussion in the Rishonim exactly what the case is of gidul chamisha mechitza chamisha in the way that it's quoted in Maseches Gittin, as well as over here, but let's just leave it at that. By Rav Hoshia, this is a very Nogea issue. We just discussed, I just gave a Tuesday night shiur this past week about what if the Erev falls in the middle of Shabbos. So do we say, there's a Shita of Shlomo Kluger, that when an Erev comes down in the middle of Shabbos, that, okay, Shabbos started with an Erev, so you can continue to rely on it. Kivin the Hutra. Once Shabbos was okay, so even if there was a terrible storm on Friday night, and the Erev, the Tzuras HaPesach came down, it's all right, so it's good enough. So all the poskim reject of Shlomo Kluger. It's based on this sugya that we're about to see. This idea of kivin de hutra hutra. So by Rav Hoshia, diurin aban b'Shabbos ma'ushay asu. What if new people are exposed to that area on Shabbos? So do they make it? Do they now make the area aser? You had a perfectly good eruv in your chatzer, and now your chatzer became nifrets to another chatzer. So now you're exposed to all these people in the other chatzer. Does that create a problem for your eruv? So Rav Chisa tashmai. So let's bring a raya. If you have a large chatzer that's wide open to a smaller chatzer, so the large chatzer is mutter, the katana is asur, the smaller chatzer is asur, and we're assuming it means that it was nifrats on Shabbos, that the breach happened on Shabbos. Mimneishi kepischa shel gadol, the small chatzer is asur because it's wide open to the large chatzer. So Amar Rabba Eimer mi bo'od yom nifratza. No, who says that happened on Shabbos? Maybe we're talking about a case that was already nifrats on erev Shabbos. Amle Abai lotei memar Eimer elavade mi bo'od yom nifratza. He says it's not only possible that we're talking about a case where it was nifrats on erev Shabbos. It must be that we're talking about a case that it was nifrats on erev Shabbos. Ta maru damar bay minei merav huna bay minei merav Yehuda irev derech haPesach v'nistam haPesach irev derech halon v'nistam haChalon mahu. We asked a similar shaila. What if two chatzeros joined in a single erev together through a Pesach or through a Chalon in the wall that separates them, and then in middle of Shabbos the Pesach gets closed off, the Chalon gets closed off. Now do we say the side that's stuck without the box of matzahs doesn't have an Eruv? So Avamali, Shabbos kibin shahutra hutra. Once Shabbos becomes hutar, it's automatically hutar. Once it becomes mutar, you're allowed to rely on that for the rest of Shabbos. So this is also a fascinating concept. Again, we're going to discuss mostly in tomorrow's daf, but how far does this go? I saw Zilberstein has a discussion about Shabbos kibin shahutra hutra. Would you say the same thing if, let's say, a guy is eating with his wife a su'uda, and then she's piercing nida in the middle of the su'uda? So do you need to put a hacker? The halacha in Yardea, Kuf Sadiyeh, in the Simon Ben Arachakos, is that a husband and wife, when she's Anida, they have to have some sort of hecker on the table between him and her. So do you say kivin de hutra hutra about the beginning of the meal? Meaning how far do we go that once something starts beheter, that you're automatically going to assume that it remains beheter? The Gemara talks about kosel shbein shtei chatzeros, but alright, there's a major discussion we've shown about stiras, about when we do say it and when we don't say it. I guess we don't have time for it now. Good nechedesh, everybody. We'll continue with this again tomorrow.